Hi, this is Christina Black with Enchanted Rose Photography. If you're like me, you're usually behind the camera instead of in front of it. This vacation, let me help you capture your memories. We offer different packages to fit anyone's needs. Find me at www.enchantedrosephotography.com and book your session today.
Hello, welcome to the Dub D Dub Review, and I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my compadre, my co-host, Stacey Nyman. How are you?
I'm doing awesome with this awesome weather that we have today.
We sometimes talk about the weather, but you know what?
I know, I have to. You have to talk about when it's really low, and you have to talk about when it's really great.
All right.
Today's a great weather day.
Yes, Chicago's weather bites most of the year. Really cold and rotten and really hot for a while, but so like just these few days that are just gems. So yeah, it's an awesome day. We are without our co-host Peter Panacorvo, and Peter was going to join us today, but Peter works a unique schedule. When Peter came home today, honestly, he was not up to it, but it was going to be the three amigos today for the show. Actually, it was going to be four amigos. We were going to have Tamara join us today because this is part two of a show that we started. And Stacey, I don't know if you remember when Tamara was talking about her experience with the Disney Institute.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about doing an extension of that show. Like, how did we incorporate Disney now into the workplace? What do we take away from the Disney Institute? Or what little things for Disney? I mean, it can be as simple as a coffee mug. Or what Disney principles did we try to incorporate in our workplace?
Right.
But we also gave Tamara the night off because I saw recently, she's at the end of the school year. By the time this show's released, she'll have about 10 days left. So being married to a teacher, I can be, you know, firsthand witness to this, that this school year is crazy this time of year. Eighth graders have tuned you out. They're ready to go. So we gave Tamara the night off, so it's just me and you today, kiddo. You cool with
that? Sounds good. I'm up for it.
Cool. Before we start, though, let's talk about, like, what you're looking forward to this summer. We're on the precipice of summer. It feels great. What are you looking forward to most this year? I know you got a trip to Disneyland. It's going to be half fun, half fighting.
Let's hope not.
With the crowds. So yes. What are you looking forward to exactly?
Yeah, it's definitely the Disneyland trip. We have 36 days. We've created our paper chain countdown that Britta gets to rip off the chain each day, and she keeps forgetting, so we have to count them all again and then figure out how many she has to rip off.
Wait a minute. You got a paper chain countdown?
Yes.
That's all. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, we try to do a different countdown each year, and sometimes they're super creative. Like, we've made a wreath with clothespins and ribbons and craft foam and everything, and then I just wasn't up for it, so we sat it on my bed one night and took out some construction paper and made a paper chains, and that's what we've been doing this year. So it's been working, so it's getting shorter, and that's really exciting. But I think that I'm just looking forward the most about this trip that I haven't done a whole lot of planning for it, just because I don't really know what to expect. Like, I've done some reading, I've read some blogs, I've looked at, you know, Disneyland tips for newbies and things like that, but really haven't done a whole lot else, because I know that with Galaxy's Edge in there, it's going to throw a wrench in that nobody has ever experienced before. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to have all these plans and then have them go to the wayside anyway because of Galaxy's Edge. So I figured we'll just go in there, and we have quite a few days planned, and hopefully throughout those days we'll be able to do all the things that we really want to do. So,
well, let me
we do have our dining planned, though, so that's okay. A good thing.
Well, let me further sell you on your idea, and I want to reinforce your idea, because we didn't look at videos before we went to Disneyland as well, too. We were trying to stay clear of any kind of, like, walkthroughs,
mm-hmm.
because, like, you want the park to be new. Like, there's a first time to walk through that park.
Right.
And I don't want to be, like, sullied by someone else's video or commentary. So that's cool. Like, do it. You're going to be there plenty of days. You'll get all the rides and attractions in. Like, let it unfold in front of you.
Right.
We haven't seen. We're going to Paris this winter. We've been saving up for a couple of years to see Disneyland Paris as part of the trip. I refuse to show the kids videos, and they've been asking every day to look at a video. And I'm like, no, you don't want to see it. You want to see it the first time.
Right.
I want you to be surprised. I want to be surprised again. It's been 15 years since I've been there. So I refuse to show them videos. So good girl. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. I know it's I'm such a planner by nature.
Yeah.
But I think that it's feeling natural not to plan just because I just don't know what to expect.
You've been hanging out with me too much.
Yeah, maybe. I expect when we go again, though, I would probably do a whole bunch of planning. But now I'm just going to kind of go with the flow.
All right. Well, give me your rundown of where you're eating at then. Where are you eating at?
Yeah, so we have 4 sit-down meals planned. One for Blue Bayou. We were going to do the dinner package for... Would it be Fantasmic, I think, in Blue Bayou? But the cost was so high, and I knew that my kids would not eat what was on the mm-hmm. adult menu for that. So we got rid of that right away, but we still wanted to eat there. So we just made a regular lunch ADR, knowing that they could, you know, snack off of other things. They could get appetizers or something if they wanted to, or not even eat at all, and then they can get a snack later on or whatever. But they all wanted to eat at that restaurant. And so we got, for the Fantasmic dinner package, we got a lunch reservation at the Riverbell Terrace, is it, I think?
Okay.
And that was much cheaper than Blue Bayou, and it had menu items that all the kids would like.
Yeah.
And then we also got the Plaza character breakfast, mm-hmm. which, because I've heard it has an amazing amount of characters in that breakfast, and... So that's for, I think, our last morning. I have that booked there. And then we had some trouble getting our World of Color dining package. They, for some reason, the dates didn't go into July. And we wanted it for July 2nd, but whatever. So I ended up getting it June 30th, which is fine. And that is at Wine Country Trattoria. And typical Italian food, so Scott will be happy with that. But... yeah, so those are all really good ones, and I have my whole list of snack items that we're going to be hitting there as well. So I guess I have done some research on on food.
You've done a little bit.
Which is not surprising.
You've done a little bit. Okay. The Riverbell Terrace actually is right across the way from the Tarzan Treehouse.
So that's
cool. That's a good option. I was completely jealous, and of course, you know, I walked into the Blue Bayou like Joe... No planner, like, hey, can I seat my family of 5? Where everyone looked at me like, get out of here, you know? Yeah, like 3 days from now. So good thing, you know, that you at least did a little bit of research to figure out.
Yeah, that's the one that I've heard that you kind of have to get the reservation if you want to.
They weren't impressed with my pin and my t-shirt. Who are you?
What?
Yeah, exactly. What show? What do you got? So anyways, good.
How about you, Chris? What are you excited about for the summer?
Well, you know, if I tell you, you're going to laugh at me. And so, well, not necessarily the trip. We aren't going to Disney this summer. Well, we might squeeze like a quick weekend trip. We might not even tell anybody. We might just go down there like stealth. But, of course, if I'm telling you about it, that kind of takes away the stealth. You didn't hear that. Never mind.
That's the unexpected.
You never know when I'm going to show up. Anyways, we are going to be going to San Antonio. We have we've been married 20 years. So my wife decided, let's do something a little different. So we're going to San Antonio. And as cool as San Antonio is with the SeaWorlds and the River Walks and the Six Flags, you are going to completely laugh at me for like what I'm excited to do. But people who know me, like everyone's going to be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. In Texas, now go with me here. In Texas, they have a gas station convenience store. All right. It's called Buc-ee's, Buc-ee's. All right. Over dinner tonight, Google or like go to YouTube and look at Buc-ee's. It's like the size of a Target. I'm not lying to you. They have like the biggest convenience stores in the world. So we found it by accident, like on YouTube one day. And now they have all these like Buc-ee's brand everything. So for the twins' birthday and Beatrice's birthday, I got her like a Buc-ee neck pillow, and we got all these treats imported. So like the kids are like super excited to go to this convenience store gas
station. That is amazing.
In San Antonio. We're completely wasting our time, but we are going to rent a car just to go to the one in New Braunfels, Texas.
That's perfect.
You know, like completely like something I would do. But like, no, river, we're excited about the Riverwalk. We're excited about everything. It's going to be fun. We're looking really forward to it.
Have you been to South Dakota?
Are you talking about Wall Drug?
Yes.
I have not, but it's completely on the list. There might be a Nyman Malik family road trip to get to Wall Drug.
That was our family, too. Like, the whole time we were driving, I was like, I just want to get to that store. And I was, like, so excited. And, you know, when you were – they might still have these, but when I was growing up, there was – at all the gift shops
the bumper that you'd
sticker. Go to – Not the bumper stickers. They would have, like, brown lunch bags that they would put random stuff in and, like, put a girl sticker on it or a boy sticker. And it was, like, mystery bags for, you know, you spend a dollar and you just get a mystery. Well, I guess that they're doing that now with stuff. But this was, like, in a brown paper bag. So Wall Drug had, like, barrels of these mystery bags, and I was insane. Like, I wanted to spend all my souvenir money on mystery bags from Wall Drugs, and
all right.
That was also when those troll dolls were popular. So I got a whole bunch of troll dolls. That was a good trip.
Well, you know what?
It's South Dakota.
it's been on the list because, you know, I think you have to see it. It's like a landmark in its own right. But
yes. You
know, so I just haven't made it out that way. But it is on the list. So yeah, the adventure of the Malik family traveling to a gas station. Anyways, yes. If you live in Texas and you've been to a Buc-ee's, send me a message. Tell me if it's worth it, because the YouTube videos, it makes me just laugh every time, and we got to see it. But tell me if it's worth it. Anyways, all right, let's get to the show, if you don't mind. Let's talk about how we incorporate Disney into our workplace. So specifically, we have not attended a Disney Institute training session like Tamara did. But, you know, both of us actually, you know, have unique jobs where, you know, I don't want to speak for your job, but like you definitely have to incorporate some of the customer service methods and also to pass your time. And I do as well, based on the fact that my job really is, it's almost like a Disney training job, you know, along the way, because it's all about customer service. I'm improving the customer's experience when I'm there, and it's my job to assure that customer experience is a really high quality experience, and they're having fun, they're enjoying, they're going to come back repeatedly. So, let's go with you. I mean, I've got a few on my list. You've got more. You were more studious than me, but let's talk about some things that we incorporate, either Disney, I want to say principles, ideas, it could be souvenirs, it could be, and not so much souvenirs, but like, how do we bring Disney into our professional lives?
Yeah, so customer service is the first thing on my list. I work at a museum in Chicago, and I'm specifically the education manager at the museum. And in our museum, we have a children's museum on the third floor. So I'm in charge of that, and I'm in charge of all children, school, and family programming that we have at the museum. So customer service is a huge part of my job, and I learn a lot at Disney that I apply at my job, because we have people that are not on their best behavior come into the museum. Our children's museum is amazing. I have to say it is really, really great. But people view it as a play area and not a museum. And so if I didn't have the training as I had going to Disney and seeing how cast members there react to people and kind of turn situations around, I could be a pretty crabby person at the end of the day, because a lot of our guests that we have at the museum just aren't on their best behavior, you know, just not supervising children. I can just go on and on and on. But instead of, you know, obviously doing what I shouldn't do and being crabby and rude and telling them off and asking them to wash their kids,
you know, regular parental things, but okay.
Exactly.
Very good.
I'm going to tell you that I cannot put up one more sign in the museum because nobody reads them, but I just keep on putting them up all over the place. Anyway, but
this is the sign museum, by the way, too, correct? Is this,
yeah.
Right? In Chicago? Okay.
Please supervise your children at all times. No, but I just try to, you know, always use the mentality that these people deserved, obviously, to be listened to, and that everything should be done with a smile and as friendly as possible, even if they are, you know, not being happy with me or being, you know, cold or whatever, just always keeping that smile on my face and just providing them with as much care as I possibly can. And it's twofold. I mean, we don't want somebody going and giving us a bad review because I had a bad attitude that day. Mm-hmm. But also, the more positive you can be, it really does diffuse the situation more often than not. And I obviously don't have people at the museum as they would at Disney World. Like, I rate people. Most people are happy to be there and, you know, everything goes fine. But, you know, it's just always trying to keep that positive attitude and doing everything with a smile and just don't say what you're thinking in your head.
Yeah, for sure. So let me ask you this question then about your job. Do you have like a, you said a play area. Do you have like a mm-hmm. playground area in your job? I mean, I've been there, but like, what do uh-huh. you, what do you describe the second floor? Because like that would be something that I would think that like moms would want to come and buy like a museum pass and let their kids go crazy.
Yeah.
And is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking?
Yeah. So no, I'm talking about, floor, yeah, I'm sorry. At the third floor. No, that's okay. It's yeah. It's so it's a children's museum. All of the things, I encourage everybody to come. It's really fun. But we have two authentic houses in the children's museum, both from the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And the things that we have inside the houses, most of the things are authentic artifacts from the 1800s. That this is a place where kids can come and actually touch these things and use them and use their imagination with them. So obviously with these items, you know, they're not toys. So it's hard, but it's such a fun place. And there's all these other things that kids interact with. They can milk a cow, they can go fishing, they can ride a boat, do all these different things, blast off to the moon. But so it's just tricky to find that balance between it being a play area and being an actual museum.
Okay.
So we like to lean toward the museum aspect of it.
Okay.
But also want them to have fun too.
Well, let me give you one of mine because it does kind of play. A lot of these are going to play, you know, very similar back and forth. But one of the things that I instituted in my course was I require my staff to wear name tags. And this wasn't the case like 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I've been won over by Disney. When I see someone with their name at Walt Disney World or Disneyland, I definitely greet them by their first name. And actually, mm-hmm. you know, I go beyond because like I'll know where they grew up or where their hometown mm-hmm. is at. So I often use that as a way to strike up a conversation. And Disney wants that. They want you to engage with their staff members. You know, that was one of the stories I remember from reading, I believe it was Jim Corcus's books on Walt, that why does you'd want your staff to engage with your customers? Your staff mm-hmm. is your number one asset. A well-trained staff can sell your product well greater than like any advertising or any marketing dollar. A staff that, you know, really cares about the product. So when you put a name on somebody, the interaction just blooms from there. It's, mm-hmm. it's got two effects on it. So in my pro shop, when you walk up, you're going to see a guy, Steve or Dave or whoever, and you're going to say, hey, Dave, how you doing? And there's going to be a natural back and forth. But it also keeps Dave on his toes because should an interaction get south, Dave knows that customer knows his name. So
right.
it's like a personal watchdog. You know, yes, the customer is going to engage with you. Yes, I'm expecting you to go and be a great customer service representative. Yes, they're going to know exactly who you are should things go south quickly. Mm-hmm. So I wear a name tag personally at work. Mm-hmm. You know, I may forget occasionally, but I love wearing my name tag at work. People rarely need to know my name anymore because I'm like the public face of the course. So like mm-hmm. people see this loud guy all the time. So like they've gotten to know who I am at this point. But, you know, wearing name tags, it sounds so simple. And people are like, yeah, I work at Target, we wear name tags. It means more than that. And you know, there's going to be an interaction, and that interaction, it makes or breaks the experience. It could be a golf course, it could be Target, it could be McDonald's. But if you mm-hmm. know the person's name, that interaction just blooms from there. And if you can turn that 30 seconds, 1 minute conversation to like a meaningful experience, like you got the customer and they're going to come back and they're going to support you and they're going to do right by you. So yeah, that's one thing I instituted, was putting a name on everybody. So, you know, take that for what it's worth, but it's worked really good for us.
Yeah, no, that's a really great, that's a really great idea. I completely agree with the fact that it just really helps both the customer and the employee be at their best.
I love talking to people. When I know their name, I'll definitely start up a conversation like, oh, I knew somebody that lived in Toledo, Ohio, you know, and before you know it, it's like you got like a 5-minute conversation. Now, whether it's genuine or not, you know, I mean, the cast members, they're just people. They believe me, their job is just can be just as boring as ours. You know, on this, right. On the outside, you think, man, you work in the Coronado gift shop. You're the luckiest person in the world. And they're like, please, someone just shoot me now, you know?
Yes.
And like, wait a minute. Yep. There's actual human contact? I like human contact. I remember
right,
this.
Exactly.
So they want to interact. They want to engage as well, too. What do you got?
All right. So my next one is very, very specific to the museum, mm-hmm. but I thought that I would mention it because it's very Disney as well. In Sweden, I work at the Swedish American Museum. I think I've mentioned this in the past, but Swedes have this really strange tradition at Christmas time where I believe it's at 3 o'clock, they all sit down and watch a Donald Duck movie that comes on TV, and it's played on all the TVs, and it's in Sweden, it's called Kalianka. It's K-A-L-L-E and then A-N-K-A. And for them, Christmas in Sweden is described as either before Kalianka or after Kalianka. It's like that's when they do their different things during that day. So at our museum at Christmas time, we have a little small exhibit about this tradition and different people kind of talking about their traditions that go around Kalianka. But it's a really super, super important thing in Sweden at Christmas time is Donald Duck. And I was extremely, obviously, excited when I started working there
really?
And I found out about
really?
It. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Well, what is the cartoon? But, what is the movie, the cartoon like? The
one I have no idea because we do not have the licensing to show it at the museum, Disney. We reached out and we were shut down pretty quickly. So they won't allow us to play it at the museum. But I think it's just I think it's like a Donald Duck Christmas episode or something. I don't think it was anything really special, but what the special part about it is that there used to be a guest host every year who would it would be like a celebrity who would
like
do the
Dubs.
Introduction. Yeah, exactly. Just like the Dubs. The introduction to Kalianka. And I think that recently they've had the same person each year do it, but it's like a special. It's a really cool thing that they all enjoy doing. It becomes such a huge part of their memories and their Christmas tradition. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Cool. But unique for sure.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, working with Disney for that project was very tricky. We did everything by the book that we needed to do, but it was like, nope, this name needs to change. Nope, you can't use the words Kalianka in your title of your exhibit. No, you can't do this. So
wow.
I think that our title of the exhibit is That's Just Ducky.
Okay.
But every year, Christmas time, come see it.
Well, you know what? I want to tell the Swedish government right now in Disney, if they're looking for a co-host or a guest host for next year, I don't speak a word of Swedish. I do eat Swedish fish, but I am willing to throw my name in the hat. Just so
absolutely.
You know. Hello,
well,
Sweden.
Your children have participated in Santa Lucia, so
right?
you definitely have a connection.
Welcome to the Kalianka, right? So
exactly.
I could be killing it. All right. So what I was tasked this year for my boss is, you know, I have to go and pull trade articles based on pace of play, frost delays, a number of things, you know, to actually improve the staff as far as just an outside perspective. Hey, let me give you an outsider's perspective. And I send it out on my weekly schedule with my staff. Many times during the last few years, they've been Walt Disney quotes that actually aren't trade, but they're appropriate because... Mm-hmm. It shows the big guy actually with his hands. So be careful when you're sending a Walt Disney quote. This is the first thing I should say is a lot of the quotes that are attributed to Walt Disney aren't actually Walt Disney quotes. So if you can dream it, you can do it. You ever hear that one that always has the Walt Disney afterwards? It was not Walt Disney. It was created like 30 years after Walt's death. So you have to be careful. They're not always Walt Disney quotes. But what I'll often do is I'll like default to like Life magazine and I'll actually find images. And my favorite two images of Walt that I've used in emails in the past 6 months are there's one of Walt picking up garbage at Disneyland. He physically is picking up the garbage himself. And I thought to myself, that's an awesome image of the boss walking around Disneyland. you know, picking up garbage on his own. There's also one where he's shoveling dirt. It's a ceremonial shovel, but like somehow it doesn't go off right. And Walt picks up the shovel and starts shoveling dirt himself. And I thought, you know, that's a really cool image of how, I know it's a ceremonial type situation, but he literally grabs a shovel and he's got a big chuckle on his face because no one could do it. And like he's shoveling the dirt himself. So, you know, I love the show, the fact that, and in many ways, my management philosophy is the same. I'm in no way am I comparing myself to Walt Disney, but like I love to get my hands dirty with the guys at work. Like I will wear gym shoes and shorts are my summer attire because I know at the end of the day, I'll have to clean out carts and the carts may have cigarette butts, cigars. It'll have half drunk beers and I'll have to spill them out and whatnot. And I'm going to splash it everywhere. Like, as a manager, I've always thought to myself, if Walt can do stuff like this, then I'm easily going to do stuff like this. So
absolutely.
And I think the staff appreciates that because I do not sit in the office. I don't wear my FootJoy Classics, my $200 Classics, and my brand new pants that I'm not going to get dirty. Like, I love to get out, pull carts away. I'll put the radio on for the guys who listen to, like the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, you know, which is obviously from the, you know, 70s and whatnot. And you know what? I love doing it. So if Walt can do it, I can do it. So
yeah,
he has been the target. You know, he's been featured in many of my emails, and the staff knows already. Even though the staff I work with is, you know, largely retired age, they know that I'm a Disney guy, and when they see stuff like that, they can actually relate because they've seen it before. It's not from the field. So don't be afraid to go and throw a Walt quote or an image of Walt, and you're going to find a lot of great images of him. And I know it sounds like I'm idolizing Walt, but like the things that he did, the things that he wasn't afraid to do to pursue his dream are awe-inspiring. And no matter what you do, you can pull something from that. So,
yeah, no, that's great.
What do you got?
All right, my next one is that I have photos of the family at Walt Disney World around my desk area. So it's just really nice to be able to kind of gaze off to the side and look at a picture of us standing in front of the castle or something. You know, to bring yourself into a time that seems so far removed from where you are at that moment, but you can just, you know, transfer yourself right into that moment and just have those memories. So
nice. I got a few of those too, just hanging around the office. They look really cool. I do look back and think, man, my twins were small at one point.
Yeah,
not anymore.
No.
So I have a collection of logo golf balls that I have not bought one. The customers and my staff have found them and brought them to me. So on my work shelf, I have 8-10 logo golf balls, all of Mickey and Disney Cruise Line and whatnot.
Oh, that's so cool. That's really nice.
The staff recognizes it, so they bring it to me. So I appreciate that. You know, that's one of the things that makes me smile. But that wasn't my next one. Do you listen to music at your office, Stacey? Do you have a radio?
I will occasionally put on headphones so to do stuff because we have a shared office with a bunch of people, so I don't usually have something playing out loud.
Gotcha. Okay, so I do listen to music, and YouTube is a great source of like Disney music, but it oftentimes it's impractical because then you're flipping back and forth between videos, you know, or you find one of those background loops. But there's a channel, and by no means are they an advertiser on us, but if you ever heard of Subsonic Radio.
Nope.
Okay. So write the name down, subsonicradio.com. Okay. It is a specifically a Disney radio channel, but it's like a website. And if you look on the left side of the screen, you can register or create an account, but they have it's background loops all day. It can be based upon requests, it can be based upon staff picks. Great Music Ride is like music from like that generation of like the great movie rides movies. Holiday music they'll play in Main Street, Wilderness Junction, Futureland, Star Tunnel, Soarin', Living Seas, and these are 24/7, 365, and it might be like a 4-hour loop just played over and over again. But for example, staff picks, or I'm sorry, requests right now. These are the songs that are in request, okay? So there's 2 minutes of Disney's Hollywood Studios, Disney's Movie Magic Nighttime Show, followed by The Resort TV from 2006, followed by The Festival of, the Festival of Festivals Celebration on Land, followed by The Pirates of the Caribbean for a minute and 21, followed by the Baroque Hoedown, which is the electrical water pageant. So, like, if you put it on requests, you never know what you're going to get. It's a mixed bag.
Mm, okay.
But it's just the right amount of music in the background on, like, your phone volume, like, 2 or 3,
mm-hmm.
that, like, just creates the right distraction in the middle of the day. And before you know it, you're working on, like, papers, or you're typing up an email, and all of a sudden you'll hear, like the Soren music will come on, mm-hmm. or like the retro Living Seas music, which I absolutely love, and I use as a background for the show. So check out Subsonic Radio as a really cool option, just as background noise, background chatter.
Yeah.
So it's what I found that helps kind of, like, take away some of the stress of my day.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one. I do that sometimes too, but also I listen to podcasts when I have some desk time. A lot of times I'll just have my headphones in with nothing playing because I forget to hit play, and then I'm sitting there and people think that I'm listening to something, and I'm like, oh, there's nothing playing in my headphones. But yeah, no.
Can you focus at your job with podcasts? I can't do that. Like,
I can to a point. It has to be something completely mindless. Like
the Dubs.
not the podcast, but I was like going through, you know, 10 years of school tours and making a spreadsheet and doing all this stuff. So it was just kind of data entry stuff.
Okay.
So I am able to kind of do both of those at the same time. But if I'm, you know, writing an article or something like that, or researching, I can't listen to anything that has, you know, words to it.
Okay.
I'm pretty good at multitasking.
What else you got?
All right. So my ringtone, if I'm running a school tour or something, I have everything turned off, obviously, because that would be extremely distracting for the tour. But when I am not, when I'm at my desk, I do have my phone tone on, and I have it a few different ones. So I have Carousel of Progress that will play with a ringtone, and I also have Soren. So every once in a while I'll just kind of let it play for a few notes, but that always just gives me such a good feeling when I hear it playing. Usually it's a telemarketer calling or something, so I get a little bit angry after that, but hearing the Disney music while it's playing is fun.
I don't know anybody in Poughkeepsie, you know?
Exactly. Russia is calling again.
Do you have them coded to people, or is it just like, do you have, like Scott is a specific one? Or?
I used to, and then now I must, because I have two different ringtones that play. I'll have to check to see who it is, but I might have Scott to Soren. Okay. But the main one is Carousel of Progress right now.
So Scott has his own ringtone, but everyone else gets the Carousel of Progress.
Yeah, I guess. I did go fancy at one point. Then I got a new phone, and all of my ringtones disappeared. But everybody else still has access to my ringtones on their iTunes account. But my iTunes account has nothing, so I have to repurchase them all or plug in my phone to the computer, which I don't have patience to do. So.
Yeah, just go on there. Just phone get ringed,
so
right?
It's so annoying. Like, why don't I have access to those things?
Okay.
But, yeah.
Cool. What else you got? I got a few more, but you had a bunch, so.
Yeah, no, I just have, like, more just kind of, like, I always bring coffee in my resort mugs. So, with a family of six, we have a lot of resort mugs, and we've gotten rid of a whole bunch, sent a whole bunch to Goodwill. But I still have about 7 or 8 that I keep in our cabinet. And every day I bring coffee to work in one of those mugs. And that's just so fun. I love picking out the color of the day. And sometimes I forget to bring them home. So I have, you know, 5 of them sitting on my desk. But
so you randomly pick a color. You don't keep, like, your mug and keep on drinking out of your mug.
No, yeah. I just have a bunch of them in the cabinet. And I just grab one each day. And... Oh. Yeah, it's just fun to kind of see what I'm gonna get next. My favorite one is actually a Hollywood Studios one that I purchased at Hollywood Studios.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I kind of, if it's washed, that's what I'm grabbing.
Okay.
To take with me, but otherwise.
How about clothes, Stace? Do you have any specific, like, mm-hmm. Disney clothes that you wear to work? What is your uniform like at work? Do you have a uniform?
We're business casual. Okay. So I can't really wear anything.
Spirit really, jerseys.
Yes, exactly. Unless it's like on Friday, we have jeans day because we're going to be setting up for this big event.
Okay.
So I might wear something on Friday. But I always have Disney earrings on. Usually I have some sort of Disney socks on. And my Apple Watch has the Minnie Mouse face on it. So that's always fun when I'm doing a tour and I'm checking the time and all the kids can see that I have Minnie Mouse on my watch. They really like that. So
awesome.
And so, Minnie Mouse on the watch can change her outfits too. So I will oftentimes change her color of her dress depending on how I'm feeling that day.
I think based on the crowd we're talking to right now, the people that are listening, we're all like, yeah, we all wear Disney clothes. So it'd be unique to see who can get away with wearing the most Disney stuff at one particular day. I could usually get like 3 or 4 items. My DVC coat, I wear a Saratoga Springs shirt, but like I often thought one day, I'm just going to go crazy and see how many I can layer up. So maybe we should have a contest. Take a picture.
Yeah, that would be cool.
You know what? Let's do this. So of course, we're going to get maybe one person it'll enter. It'll be Tyler Lee. How many Disney items can you wear to work on one day? So I'm going to go and put that as a post in our Facebook group, in our EDCOT Facebook group. And at the end of the day, you know, it has to be legit. You have to be at work. You just can't be dressed up. You have to like literally go to work. Whoever has the most Disney items, I'm going to supply you with a prize. So on any one particular day. Now, feel free to go crazy, but yeah, it's going to need more than 3 or 4 to cut it. I have a feeling already.
And we're not counting undergarments, so don't even try JJP.
Oh, JJP, no.
We have to say no to that
one. No underoos.
Yes.
All right. We call them out. Here's probably the last big one that I have. And, you know, I was talking about how you get your hands dirty, you know, as like a manager. But I try to pretend like everyone that comes in my shop is like a close friend of mine. So oftentimes, like the lead-in conversation will be like with a stranger. I will go out with like, and sometimes my humor misses. If you've listened, you've got 185 shows of my humor missing. So you guys are well aware of my humor missing. But like, I will literally try to go out and lead like he's a buddy of mine, and I'll give him some crazy humor, or we'll talk about something funny with a complete stranger. And it's not necessarily Disney per se, but it is like customer service, where at the end of that conversation, I never really even had to say what my role is. But at the end of the conversation, he knew that I was like the manager on duty, the manager of the course. But he also knew that I was trying to go and establish a relationship. And like 9 times out of 10, like I end up earning like a really good friend out of the situation. I have people now that come into the shop, guys that will regularly come in, knock on my door and be like, hey, what's up, boss? And they'll like look at me and like look for a conversation.
And yeah, that's really great.
I don't even know if that's a Disney parameter, but in my mind's eye, I think if you're looking for customer service, if it is a Disney parameter, like the way you lead that is you get out of the office and engage with as many people as possible with eye contact. And like, you know, I talk fast, like clear, defined words, you know? And like, I don't even know if it's a Disney parameter, but in my mind, it should be. And if it's not, it really should be. But like just engaging with people, it has to be something taught. And so, heck, I think all this is kind of like preparing me for my retirement gig, you know, after I stop. But
yes.
Anyways, engage with people, you know, try and have a meaningful conversation. Look at them right in the eyes, you know, use clear words. And you know what? Honestly, lead into the conversation, not hesitantly. Like lead into the conversation like you knew that guy for 10 years and he's your buddy. And you know what? It works. It does.
Right.
So that's pretty much my last one that I've got.
Yeah, that's. I think we've gone through my whole list too. Besides some, like I have a lot of. You talked about your golf balls. I have some like a mug that I hold some pens in with that I made with a Minnie Mouse on it, and I have my wall calendar and stuff. So just other decorations around the desk and things to make me smile throughout the day. But otherwise, that's my list too.
See, the show might have been longer. We might have had Tamara join us with some really inspirational and like really well, like completely outclassed us, you know.
Cup holder.
So yeah, here we got our cups and golf balls, and you know, Peter might have had something really good too. So anyways, so remember, go to our Facebook group if you haven't joined. It's EDCOT, EDCOT. I promise you, we have fun. It's not malicious or snarky. It is a good group of people. It might be the best Facebook group on Facebook ever of all time.
For sure.
You know, so join us. We're going to have fun, I promise. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'd like to thank you for listening and downloading. We always say this, but I want to make you aware. I don't know if you guys have searched our library on iTunes or wherever your podcast catcher is at, but it just came to my attention the other day that it was truncating the number of shows displaying in our library. So I don't even know if you're aware of this, Stacey. We got like 185, 186 episodes. It was only displaying the most recent 100 episodes. So it was my fault. You know, honestly, I'm still learning as I'm going. But one of the settings that I had adjusted only released the last 100 shows. But as of today, which is going to be the 15th, so it's a few days before we release the show, you can now get every episode on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Podcatcher, on any kind of podcast player. The complete library is now available. So if you've not listened to the first show, which I don't know if I recommend, but if you've not listened to the first show, second show, third show, and you want to go back, you don't have to go to our website. You can go to any podcast feed that you have, and it's going to be out there.
And one of the first shows is when Chris talked about his brilliant idea about the used car lot.
Oh, thank you.
Also, so what is that, like episode six or something like that?
Yes. Everyone groans, but Tamara cheers. Yes. So it was one of my genius ideas, but we'll save that. Maybe we'll revisit that again.
Yeah, we might have to circle around to that one again.
All right. So for downloading and listening, we appreciate it. For my missing host today, which is Peter Panacorvo, for my missing guest host, which is Tamara Spidell, for my really good friend, Stacey Nyman, and for myself, I'd like to thank you and have a great day.
Bye, everybody.